This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is a celebrity stylist, Sam Russell, who has worked in the show business for over two decades and heads the wardrobe department. Noticing the over-gifting allotted to the well-heeled in Los Angeles, Sam decided to do something about it. Since 2011, he has rerouted designer clothing and fashionable overstock to cancer survivors, domestic abuse survivors, school teachers, and single moms re-entering the workforce. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hi, so excited to be here. Thank you.
Oh my God. I am so honored to have you, by the way, because being in the show business is, it's one of the toughest thing ever. I mean, I had a little bit of an experience and I give you so much credit, two decades. But before we jump in, I want to hear all about how you started. What inspired you to get into the show business?
Well, gosh, thank you. I started in Austin, Texas, my hometown. I had daydreams of being in fashion, I had daydreams of becoming an actor, and I turned my daydreams into actual paychecks. So as a teenager, I went out for commercials and local fashion shows. I was always doing it very part-time. I was waiting tables on the side until I decided in 1999 to move to LA and really make this happen full-time.
Wow. So tell me, what were some of the steps you took to make that happen?
Yeah, I think everyone's journey to break in is so unique. And so for me, I've always just stepped out the door, seeing everything as an opportunity, as an ally. You know, how I worked with Stevie Wonder was I met this really great guy working at a photo lab that had a buddy that was doing his wife's website that connected me to them. So you never know where your allies are going to come from. You think you have to go out and get a big power agent to make it work. It's actually just stepping out the door with intent and being a good person. And then the universe jumps in and supports your journey.
Oh my God, I believe in that. I had a shoe company back in 2009. And I'll never forget it. I was in Sherman Oaks Mall and shopping at Bloomingdale's, just buying makeup. And I was in my sweatpants and I came across this celebrity stylist who happened to be working for Warner Brothers studio. And, you know, we just started talking about makeup. Next thing you know, she's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a shoe designer. And she's like, what kind of shoes? And long story short, we connected, exchanged business cards. But I was really upset at the way I looked that day. If I had known that I was going to bump into someone so important who was going to open up this whole new world for my business, which she did actually, I would have dressed better. And so that was the lesson. In Los Angeles, you never know who you're going to bump into. So you better look the part and look deep, you know, look confident, look good so that you're confident to approach them if you need to, or just simply, you know, get to know them and whatever. So
there's a very casual way of doing business in California. So if you are in jeans and a t-shirt, people are then paying attention to your energy. They're paying attention to how you talk and how you carry yourself, and not always about the designer shoe you're wearing.
Exactly. I just think that day I looked really like a bum. It was really bad. I mean, literally like sweatpants, but not the cutest kinds that are out there now, you know, with like really pretty. And no, it was really not the juicy. Maybe it was Juicy Couture. Yeah, it was back in 2009. Those were really trending. Yes. Anyways, so I got my opportunity in the entertainment industry through her, which then gave my business the opportunity to make custom shoes and for celebrities like Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I would literally go on the show and make custom shoes. They would have all these, you know, wardrobes and everything. And then we would decide on what shoes to make. It was just fun. It was so incredible.
Well, so the TV show, the New Adventures
of Old Christine. Yes. Yeah,
Mark Littlejohn.
Correct. And yes, it was kind of fun. I would go onto the set, sit there, wait. Like it was just a very brief, but a fun experience for me. But when I decided to sell parts of my shoe company and not go forward with it, obviously that had to end. But tell me a little bit about, you know, if someone's listening to you and they're inspired to get into the show business, and like you said, everyone's journey is different. But what are the few main things that they should be looking out for and think about?
Well, you know, I started off as an actor before I got into fashion. And now I've sort of come full circle. I've returned to acting over the last year. I've sort of hung up my hanger and hung up my steamer. I've returned to acting. What I've learned very quickly, very, very quickly, what's keeping me busy is when you're on set, be quiet. If you get the opportunity to get on set as a hair person, a makeup person, as a background or as a speaking actor, be quiet until you're needed, because there's a multi-million dollar production with all this money happening and flowing around you with so much stress and anxiety. Don't add to the anxiety. Be that professional person in the room.
And that's precisely what I did. I remember seeing a few celebrities that I'm a big fan of. I didn't even make a sound. I didn't even go up to them and say, I'm a big fan. I just feel professional. Yeah. And I remember this other show that I was on, it was in the Sony studios, Till Death, with Julia, God, I forget the name.
That's okay.
Everybody loves Raymond, the tall guy. I forget his name.
Ray, the other guy.
Anyways, yeah. I remember, you know, being on that set and then just not even paying attention to any of the actors. And then that guy comes up to me and he's like, who are you? And I'm just like, I'm a cobbler. And he starts laughing. It was like funny. But I agree. You have to stay very humble, quiet, just do your work. Don't get starstruck or any of that.
Yeah, but, too much ego kills talent. That's the number one thing I can say today is too much ego will kill your talent. It'll take you off your journey. People would love to get behind your dream when they know what it is, when you're likable. But when you're not likable, less people want to get behind your dream. And that is really the big thing I want people to hear today, that too much ego will kill your talent.
I agree. You have to be humble. Oh my God, I'm so happy and excited about the Giving Closet. I want to hear all about that. How did you even come up with the idea?
It was a light bulb moment I was having. I was leaving a client's home and she had been bugging me for this free pair of shoes that I had on this photo shoot. I didn't want to give her the shoes. I had given her so many shoes throughout our relationship. And I mean, 25, 30 pairs of shoes. I had really overgifted her. And it was a light bulb moment I had. What if I could redirect a portion of that gifting to a cancer survivor or an abuse survivor going back into the workforce? What would that do for their lifestyle? I mean, I saw what that did for Stevie Wonder's wife and kids. I saw what the overgifting did to Sophia Bush, how it helped her confidence on the red carpet, right? I saw that. But what would it do for someone in Detroit that couldn't get to me, that couldn't afford me? What would that be like? It was just a light bulb daydream that turned into action.
Wow. Oh my God. So how does it work now? Tell me a little bit about the, I guess, even though it's a passion project, but the model, right? Like,
yeah. You know, I find stories of these women through third parties, like through a nonprofit, you know, maybe someone that knows their story really intimately. And then we plan a little surprise, you know, they don't know Wardrobe Boost is coming. They don't know they've been nominated for something. They're just living their day-to-day life. But these stories of these women really are so unique and should be heard and should be celebrated. We celebrate, it's the same perks that we give to all of our A-list celebrities. I'm just rerouting it to everyday people. So, you know, it's overwhelming. I'm not going to cry today, but it's really mind-blowing what it does for these women after we're done. You know, they already have the chutzpah in them, but you put on a new pair of shoes, you add a new briefcase to it, they will nail that next job interview. It's a big deal.
No, it is. It is. And I'm so happy that you recognize that and you're doing something about it. Now, you started this in 2011 and, you know, I'm just curious how the wave was and then how the pandemic affected your passion.
I had to shut it down. I shut it down at the beginning of the pandemic and I didn't plan. I usually do these maybe three times a year. I've surprised so far 17 women since 2011 and each one gets a personalized wardrobe valued at $10,000 per person. Oh yeah. So it's 40 to 50 outfits, 10 pairs of shoes. It's a really big wardrobe boost. But I had to stop at the beginning of the pandemic because everyone was stressing out financially. But I did revisit this in the Mother's Day of 2021, and I surprised a local mom here with the most amazing, amazing story of perseverance you've ever heard.
Oh my goodness. Now, how do you support this? I mean, to be able to surprise these women with a $10,000 wardrobe, that's
You'd be very surprised how easy it is to get free clothing for celebrities. It's extremely, extremely easy. And season after season, the clothing becomes old news. So a lot of people are sitting on this old stock, overstock of clothing from just last fall that they're quickly gifting, they're quickly getting rid of, and they're moving on to their next season. So celebrity stylists are very privy to all of this. We're very privy to it. And I'm just asking these relationships to just reroute just a small portion of that, just a small portion of it to these amazing women that I meet.
And it's something that they can also, you know, utilize on their social media channels and just as a brand. So I'm assuming it's the brands giving the product.
Yeah, brands love to give. They love it when media knows they give. But also too, I have a lot of designers, Rodeo Drive jewelers, that give to my charity, and they don't care if they ever get any press. Wow. It just resonates with the personal story of knowing their mom's struggle and seeing their mom dress up, and now look at their success, and they know that I'm just carrying that torch. Yeah. So this has really personally hit a lot of people to where big brands just sometimes don't even care if they're mentioned.
I love that. There's so much kindness in this world, and I'm so happy that you're the connector. You're connecting everyone and everything. And it's amazing.
It helps me understand too my self-worth in all of it. You know, I've had to sort of heal and repair myself in this whole journey, because I woke up in an abusive relationship. I woke up not happy with my career. I woke up not living my truth. So this just charity work has really kind of also put me back in check.
And to your point, you know, ever since the pandemic, I started doing a lot of pro bono work where, you know, I help small businesses that can't afford my marketing agency. I just help them to train them how to do certain things internally. And that sort of opened up my mind on things that I'm doing for my newer startup, you know, for the Roma Leaf company. Or vice versa, the things that I'm going through, the pain and the challenges that I'm going through with my newer startup, all of a sudden I'm like, wait, this could be a quick tutorial and I can put it up on the website and make it available for free for anyone who wants to promote an event or a webinar or a workshop, you know? And so—
What a breakthrough. It's like a breakthrough for you. Yeah, I love it.
I feel like I'm more conscious, but also, you know, it helps me get through the challenge in a weird way, in a positive way, which I, you know, most of the times when you're going through a challenging experience or a phase, you know, it's very, very hard not to complain and be down about it. But now I'm like, wait, I'm sure a lot of other people are going through this. Let me like videotape this and create this tutorial and resources and whatever and share with others. And then all of a sudden I'm like, this is wonderful. You know, my challenges are actually solving other
people. There's no secret to living well that we shouldn't be sharing.
I agree. And you know, sometimes I feel like I share a little too much. And especially being in the industry, you know, I get paid for my secret sauce, how I promote and shine a light on brands with my through my marketing agency. But and believe it or not, I was never able to share the things I was able to do because of the MNDA that I signed with all of my clients. But because Roma Leaf is my own startup, it's my own baby, everything I do about that company, I'm able to openly talk about it and share it. No one's going to come after me and say, hey, you just shared our strategy. You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Oh my God. Okay. So I want to know a little bit about what your dreams were when you were little. I feel like, you know, I feel like in my 40s is when I came around to really remembering my dreams when I was little. And making those things a reality somewhat, right?
I dreamt really, my dreams as a kid were really kind of more basic in the beginning because I had a very rocky childhood. Yeah. My mom was a widow with three boys. Oh. My dad, before he died at 33 years of age of a heart attack, 33, yes. But he was a very abusive man. So when he left the universe, our home was protected again. So as a child, I was really more focused on well-being, protection of my mom. I didn't have a chance to think about going to college or going to an academy for the arts. I was too focused on survival. and well-being and not taking my life as a teenager, you know? So I remember as a child making a pact with myself that no matter what, when I make it to adulthood, I'm going to chase my dreams. I'm going to be really happy. I'm going to be a cockeyed optimist, and no one's going to burst that bubble. And I've really been living that through. Yeah.
Amazing. And it's so inspiring for others to hear this, because I don't think I think we all grow up with some challenges. I grew up in a communist society. I grew up when, Armenia was part of Russia and the old Soviet Union. So somewhat suppressed and told that I can't do certain things because I'm a girl, or, you know, simple things like I couldn't wear shorts. People would make fun of me if I wore shorts, you know? And so that affected me. I also, when we came from Russia, from Armenia, the currency changed. So my parents lost all their money. And then a week later we were in the US. Broke, started from scratch. And so then I had this weird trauma with money that I didn't realize until I came across this book that was talking about money. And it really dove into the fact that if you have trauma with certain things and you can't change your perception, it's because of the trauma. So deal with the trauma, then change your perception. And so I feel like we all have something, some baggage that we have to.
But don't live in secret. Don't ever live it in secret. Don't ever live your baggage in secret. There is community out there. There's clarity out there, but you have to get it off your chest.
Yeah. And I think there, like you said, there's community out there. And I don't know if it's the pandemic that really brought that out a little bit more nowadays than ever before. I guess people just being so lonely and reaching out and now being available to kind of do this right now. You and I just hopped on Zoom and we're connecting.
We've never met before. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this would have been really maybe challenging for us to come across each other. And even though we're both in Los Angeles, you're in Los Angeles, right now.
I'm in Pasadena now. Yes.
Oh, you're so close to me. Wonderful. I want to talk about some of the challenges and the opportunities. Our listeners love to hear inspiring stories, but we also love to share actionable items as to actions that they could take to turn their dream or passion into reality. So I'm curious to know, what were some of the challenges as well as the opportunities that you came across when you started thinking about your amazing Giving Closet charity?
Yeah. The opportunities were plentiful. There was plenty of snobbery of people that didn't want to donate to it, that hadn't heard of it, didn't really care, and please get out, get away. So I really kind of did a lot of bartering with people, you know, like, hey, I'll get your eyewear and Stevie Wonder, but I need a faith, you know. So I started bartering heavy to make people support my charity work. So if you've got some strength about you that you can barter to help your dream, then definitely bring that to the forefront. Whatever your skill is, maybe just being a writer, being good at social media, whatever.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You're actually the first person who said that, because a lot of people are like, well, you know, we just do this and ask for this. And I feel so uncomfortable asking, especially in Los Angeles. I feel like, especially when it comes to celebrities and so on, everyone's asking. And I don't want to be one of those people asking and taking all the time. So I love that you brought up the bartering thing, where you just exchange, you give them something in return for it to be worthwhile. What about, in terms of the general public, how can people like myself support you and help you? First of all, where would we go to find you and connect with you? And then how can we support you?
Well, I'm at givingcloset.net. And it's got all my social media tags and handles and all the press that I've done there. On social media, I'm Giving Sam. It's really easy. Giving Sam on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, it's just nice when people can spread the message, because there's a message here that I'm going around and I'm re-sparking joy and hope in people that it was a little dim for a short period of time. So if we can all continually keep doing that, spreading the good news where we can't find any good news, any way we can within our own resources, that keeps the machine going. It's best for our communities. It gets you out of your own head. If you battle with depression, be a little more selfless.
agree.
And so that's the thing I want people to walk away with, is that I'm spreading good news where there isn't good news.
Yeah.
And if you can do the same with your resources, please show us how you do it. Do it. Don't just sit back and watch me spread good news.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.